For this edition of Checkbooks, I've come down to the Philosophical Faculty of Prague's Charles University, and I'm here to talk to one of the most respected and best-known professors here at the university. That's Dr. Martin Hilsky, who is a professor of English literature and is very well-known in this country for his translations of Shakespeare. He's translated over 20 Shakespeare plays and also much of the great bard's poetry. Thank you very much, Dr. Hilsky, for finding some time to talk to us.
It's a pleasure.
I'd like to start by talking a little bit about the Summer Shakespeare Festival, which has just ended here in Prague and is always really one of the big cultural events every summer. I'd like to ask you about your involvement in the festival, because it's really at two levels, isn't it? At one level, you're a translator, yeah, and many of the productions that we see here, yeah, are in your translations. You're also very actively interested in the productions themselves. You're interested in the whole theatre as well.
This is very true. I always go to the first rehearsals where the text is read for the first time and discussed by the actors and directors. And then I go to many reruns and so on. So I'm involved, and I usually speak about the language. This is, you know, my job. And I like this dialogue because I not only share my experience with the actors, but it works the other way around as well.
Yes, I mean, do you end up arguing sometimes that somebody will say, I'm sorry, I can't read that line. Can you retranslate it?
Well, this is what happens.
And you don't mind?
Not at all. It doesn't happen too often, I must say. But when it happens, I always try to think about it and find a solution.
I'm very interested in your translations of Shakespeare because they are, in a sense, controversial. I remember a few years ago there was quite even a passionate debate in one of the Czech daily newspapers about whether it's wise or whether it's the best path to take in translating Shakespeare to choose, as you have done, modern Czech. How do you defend yourself against the argument that these are plays that were written over 400 years ago? There should be an element of that archaic language in the Czech too.
Well, I would use archaic language if necessary, but if my defense is needed, I would defend myself on several points. The first is that modern Czech is the only language I really know. If I wanted to translate Shakespeare into the Czech of the late 16th and early 17th century, it would be an artificial reconstruction of the language I do not know, however beautiful it is. The second point is that even if I succeeded, people would not understand that language, because simply English language cannot be compared with the Czech language of that period. The English language was much more developed, and Shakespeare developed it in such a tremendous way, and we have no Shakespeare at that time, and it would be absolutely impossible to translate Shakespearean quibbles and puns. Absolutely impossible. And it would be a pity, because then the audiences simply would not get Shakespeare. So my arguments are very simple and fundamental, I would say.
In a sense, these problems exist even with modern Czech. I mean, for example, in English, and especially in British English, there is to this day a great love of puns,
yes,
which plays a central role in English writing.
Yes. Yes.
And also Shakespeare's language, I believe that he uses a vocabulary of around about 40,000 words. I don't know if that's true. Czech doesn't have the same variations in its vocabulary to choose from that English does, with so many different influences on the language over the centuries. Mm. How do you deal with all these problems as well in translating into modern Czech?
First of all, you are right. I think it's about 25,000 words on Shakespeare, which is a tremendous amount. I mean, the vocabulary is miraculously rich. What can you do with all this in Czech? Of course, you could give up translating in the first place. That would be one possible response to the difficulty of translation. Yet, I did it. In fact, I gave up once, and then I came back to it, because I think the job of the translator is to translate what is untranslatable. So, anyway, there are many difficulties, because the languages are radically different. Yet, there are some chances, some possibilities offered by the Czech language. For example, as far as the punning goes, it may be translated, not literally. So I would defend the translation which is true to the meaning and function of words, but not to the words themselves, because that is not possible.
And what about Shakespeare's verse, such forms as, you know, thinking of classic examples such as the iambic pentameter or whatever meter form you might be writing in, can that be translated into Czech, or does it have to be adapted into another meter?
No, it can be translated, although iambic meter is very rare in Czech poetry, but there is some iambic poetry, exquisite poetry. Macha's Mei, the romantic poem, is written in that meter, and it works. It's slightly more artificial in Czech than in English. In English, it's natural, although, of course, Shakespeare's language.
That's because in English we talk in di-dum, 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 di-dum.
Absolutely. Yes. The second syllable is very often stressed.
And how would it normally be in spoken Czech?
Well, in spoken Czech, it is the first syllable, always, without exception. Even if you have a preposition, it is accented. So the task of the translator, again, is enormously difficult because the English meter is uprising. It goes up, whereas we go down. So, in fact, you have to go up, although your nature is to go down, and yet you must pretend that it is, in fact, a pleasure, because otherwise the effort must be concealed. And it is technically possible. I don't want to go into technical details, but it can be done, although it is indeed difficult, and different translators, of course, have different approaches, but it is possible.
You've brought several of your translations with you. Could we maybe hear a couple of verses of Shakespeare in Czech?
Yes, indeed. So now I shall read one of Shakespeare's sonnets, which I translated all of them, and this is one of them, and I think it's one of the most beautiful sonnets. And I hope, if you listen to this, that the Czech rhythm and meter and the music will be there. I at least hope so, although it will be much different from Shakespeare's original, as far as the sound is concerned. Mám srovnávat tě s krásným letním dnem, tvá krása září víc, víc laskavá je. Vždyť létu brzy skončí pronájem a vichr serve něžné poupě máje.
Well, I'm going to let our listeners out of their misery and say which of the sonnets it is. It's probably the best known of all Shakespeare's sonnets. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? When I look to neighbouring Germany, for example, in the 19th century, with the whole emergence of the Sturm und Drang movement, Romanticism, Shakespeare was a huge influence. Was that the case here in Bohemia or in the Czech-speaking world as well?
It's good you mentioned Germany, because this is a special case. They declared Shakespeare to be their own poet, you know, so they appropriated him almost. And I think Shakespeare played a very important role in the forming the German nationhood. I mean, it was really a political issue. In Czech lands, in Bohemia and Moravia, Shakespeare was very important, but the importance was slightly different because the translators of the 19th century usually wanted to prove that the Czech language is good enough to compete with the German translations of Shakespeare. You know, so the idea was, here we are, a very small nation in Central Europe, neighboring Germany, but as far as Shakespeare goes, we can handle his language, his plays and his poems, as well as the Germans. So the national impulse was there. The 19th century was the century of nationalities, emerging nationalities, and no doubt this was one of the reasons. But I also think it was the love for Shakespeare mediated by the awareness that he is the great spirit and great writer, one of the greatest writers, and there was this challenge to wrangle the miracle, the gift of Shakespeare, into Czech.
And were there poets, playwrights, who were influenced directly by Shakespeare, who took their inspiration from him?
There are many Czech poets who respond to Shakespeare. Holan, very well known, and I think one of the best Czech poets, in fact, of the 20th century, wrote Night with Hamlet, translated into English, I think, And there are many, many poems responding to Shakespeare. What we do not have a playwright who would write historical plays comparable to the Henrys and Richards, Richard II, Richard III. And also, I don't think that the drama we have would follow Shakespeare's example. The comedy is entirely different. The tragedy is different. Even the sonnets, until recently, were written in the Italian form, you know, not in the Shakespeare's form. So these are difficult and complex matters, yes.
And one last question. There's the famous reference in Shakespeare to the seacoast of Bohemia. Of course, Bohemia doesn't have a seacoast, it's a landlocked country. Are there any other interesting Czech references or links in Shakespeare's work?
Yes, yes. In the same play, The Winter's Tale, not only the seacoast and the famous bear that devours one of the characters of the play on that Czech seashore, but there is also a character called Autolycus, who is a thief, but a very gifted thief, because he sings and, you know, he's gifted. And I must say that this Czech Bohemian character, I simply was reminded of many Czechs nowadays when I read Autolycus. And also, no one knows this, I think, not many people know it, but in Twelfth Night, there is a very small but interesting reference to Hermit of Prague. This is what Feste says at the end of the Twelfth Night, but I'm afraid that's it.
We don't have much time left now, but before we end the program, I'd like to return to one more extract from Shakespeare in Czech. This is going to be probably the most famous soliloquy in all of Shakespeare's plays. It's from Hamlet, and so Martin Hilsky is going to read a little bit of the famous to be or not to be speech in Czech. I hope you've enjoyed this program. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can reach us, of course, as usual, at Radio Prague, 12099 Prague, the Czech Republic, or you can send us an email to english@radio.cz. So now over to Hamlet, alias Professor Martin Hilsky.
Být nebo nebýt, to je otázka. Je důstojnější zapřít se a snášet surovost osudu a jeho rány, nebo se vzepřít moři trápení a skoncovat to navždy. Zemřít, spát a je to.